No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Yeah, DGen Nation fam, you know what time it is. It's the DGen Nation podcast coming at you live or back on your podcasting airwaves, as we always do. We're breaking down the NFL DFS Week 11 picks, and we're ready to do it again. DGen Nation fam, it's the DGen Nation podcast powered by the Fantasy Authority. You can follow the Fantasy Authority on Twitter and X at @FF_Authority. Ryan Williams here. You can find me on X, Twitter and X at @RyanAlexander_W. And joined as always by the godfather of TFA himself, Mr. Kevin Steele. You know him on Twitter and X at @FantasyRath13. Kev, we got to break down an 11 game slate on week 11, 11-11. I hope our listener base is feeling lucky. I hope you're feeling lucky too. Talk to the people. How you doing? How you feeling?
Feeling pretty good. I think the slate looks pretty good for this week. It looks a lot better than it did last week's slate did. Sure.
Yeah, last week's slate was it was a doozy for us to break down, because that was kind of the first week where we really didn't have as much value opened up for us to talk about the slate, which always makes the slate a little bit more fun to talk about when we can think about ways to get leverage on popular plays and think about who the popular plays. You know, as we break these down on Thursday, there's still a lot to unwind, a lot to unpack leading up to that main slate. And when we could start talking about things, you know, pretty eloquently, I guess, for lack of a better word, when we have a slate that's kind of already, you know, painted a picture for us early on, it makes it that much more fun. When we don't have the value, Kev, as last week, we're really left in a guessing game and breaking it down for the people. Now, this is an interesting slate for us, Kev, because, you know, usually you and I, we come in pre-show, we're chopping it up about the slate, we're really breaking it down. We both really like the slate, and this is probably the least that we've talked about a slate heading into a show in quite some time. And we've been doing this, you know, for, my gosh, years and years and years now for the DGen Nation fam. So I'm excited to break this down with you, Kev. Excited to break it down for the people again. We're breaking down the NFL DFS Week 11 picks here on DraftKings, DGen Nation fam. We want to get after it with you. So, Kev, as I said, you know, this is our – we have 11 games now on the slate. We got one more. I believe there's only two teams that are on bye this week. And so when we look at the state of the slate, Kev, you know, it becomes really interesting because – as we, you know, as we talked, right, you know, I brought up value, right? Value had been opening up for a couple weeks. And we don't really have that necessarily. The biggest thing about value, Kev, is that, you know, when you have these value running backs that we had had for weeks on weeks and weeks on end, we're still having, you know, studs that weren't necessarily in great positions, or maybe we didn't have enough, you know, running back studs necessarily on the slate. But we've seen these three running back builds, you know, hit at a high rate this year because of the value at running back. And now we have another week where there isn't really too much value at running back, so to speak, but we do have some studs that are in, you know, fantastic spot, stud wide receivers who are in fantastic spots. And usually you're having to choose between both. And so it makes for a real good depiction, because I really think that there are high-end running backs that are just in smash spots. And my running back pool is probably the tightest, and this is Thursday, right? So things can be are bound to change potentially, but this might be the tightest running back pool that I have all year. Quarterback is very interesting because we have, you know, a lot of more studs on the slate. We have Josh Allen, we have Lamar Jackson, we have Patrick Mahomes, and Matthew Stafford. We can go ahead and throw him in that category with what he's been doing, as well as some value at the quarterback position too. And so when we're talking about, you know, the ways to build our teams and things of that nature, as we break down, you know, an 11 game slate, one more game than we've been used to or accustomed to over the past couple of weeks, it's going to be really interesting. And so we started the quarterback position, Kev, as we always do with the DJ Nation fam. And I find myself just gravitating towards the mid-range at quarterback. And even then, Kev, when we've talked about it, you've talked about it more so than I have. And even not, you know, you not giving the people the goodness, you know, on the show, Kev, you're coming up with these epiphanies, you know, on Sunday mornings and things like that in the chat to play Davis Mills. You know, we talked about Jackson Dart last week in that Chicago game. And, you know, unfortunately he got hurt, but was looking like he was well on his way, you know, to putting up a big game there. We've had a lot of these cheap stacks that have been hitting, you know, at a high rate to be able to fit in these studs that have just been leaps and bounds, you know, the best plays on the slate. And I think, you know, we start to see that even more so in the state of DFS. And we've been playing DFS for a long time, right, Kev? It's like, you know, now that there's sims, now that there's optimizers, now that there's this thing, you know, these things and tools out there that people can really gravitate to these strong plays. You bring up a guy like Christian McCaffrey this week, who we'll talk about at running back, but like he's 9K, feels cheap, and he's projected for like 27 points across a lot of different sites. And that projection number is just absolutely insane when you break it down. And so, you know, we're getting a lot more sharp casuals to the point where, you know, we know who the good plays are right on paper. We know who's projecting well. And that's leading, you know, to some of these Davis Mills stacks, these quarterbacks who are priced 5K and under, where we know that there could be expected volume from a cheap standpoint. And we have that yet again. And so we talk about this day of the slate, you know, you can pay for a Josh Allen, but he's missing like one of his best receiver pieces in Dalton Kincaid, who's really been a catalyst for him in this offense. And Josh Allen, let's be quite frank, he struggled this year, right? But it is a home matchup against Tampa Bay. Should be some elements there in Buffalo. We know what he's capable of doing. And 7K still feels too cheap. And people will try and pair him with somebody. Maybe we just pair him naked and take that on. Lamar Jackson, a couple games back from injury, but really hasn't looked himself. They're traveling to Cleveland. Patrick Mahomes, he's coming, you know, back on the main slate here. They got a really good matchup, you know, or I should say it's a really fun game, right? A good NFL game on paper with Kansas City taking on Denver, knowing what that, you know, the AFC West is kind of shaping up to be. But he's on the road in Denver. And as good as this offense has been, and as stellar as I feel like they're trying to be off of a, you know, the Super Bowl loss, right, in their redemption year, it's still in Denver. This Denver D has been really strong, and we know how these two teams can play against each other. And then you have a Matthew Stafford, who's the fourth highest priced quarterback at 6,600, who's been really stellar going against a really tough Seattle defense, albeit they are at home. But earlier on this year in this matchup, you know, really struggled. And we always talk about Matthew Stafford. You need the touchdowns to go his way in order to pay off. And so that takes you all the way down, Kev, to the mid range and where, you know, where it's really standing out for me. So, First two quarterbacks that are interesting to me are both Joe Flacco and Aaron Rodgers. The, you know, we have two defenses who are going against each other who are very leaky, albeit, you know, Flacco is hurt. He's on the injury report, but I think he's expected to play at least at this point. He's 5,500, Rodgers is 5,400. And we know that Flacco, right, is the better option on paper to choose from, because – all these Cincinnati Bengals are in great spots. You got Ja'Marr Chase, who's going to pop up in projections. We know what T. Higgins is capable of. He just had a big game not too long ago against the Bears. Chase Brown is going to be really popping, I feel like, for people on the page. And so it makes, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals stacks are going to be really enticing. When you look on the other side, with the Steelers, we know that, you know, I think that Jalen Warren is going to pop off right on the page. So I think Aaron Rodgers provides for really good leverage because of the propensity for Aaron Rodgers to just take matters into his own hands and want to throw. And especially when they come in the red zone. And wide receiver ones have had some tough matchups against Cincinnati. So we could talk about that. But I say all that to say the Pittsburgh Steelers stack could be really cheap as well, too. When you're looking at Aaron Rodgers, only 5,400. And then the guys you want to tie him with are going to be cheap to get into some studs. So those are two quarterbacks that stand out to me. Next quarterback is going to be JJ McCarthy, who's right there lower than them at 5,200. And, you know, the way that Minnesota's just been playing is letting him, you know, as much as he struggled, right? And we've seen the struggles throughout the year, but they're still allowing him to throw at nauseam. And this cheap stack, right? This cheap stack for Minnesota, we got Justin Jefferson at 7,500. Jordan Addison is at 5,500. Hawkinson's cheap. Aaron Jones has been in the passing game. I know he's on the injury report, but he's in the 5K range. Makes for a cheap stack. Next quarterback I'll bring up, Kev, and I'll toss it to you, is Jacoby Brissett. And if you watched any of these Arizona games, it's been ugly, right? I think he started off the game last week with a fumble, maybe even two fumbles, you know, just turning the ball over. And we've seen this kind of story with Jacoby Brissett as well, too. You know, that's why he's a journeyman. He just hasn't been able to get it done. But in this offense, with Marvin Harrison Jr. not being out there, like, we have a concentrated offense here in Arizona, and I expect points to be scored in this Arizona and San Francisco matchup and really have to push them. And so, again, Arizona is probably one of the cheaper stacks that you can get to this week without Marvin being there. Even with Trey McBride being in the 6K range, we're going to have two cheap receivers in Michael Wilson and Greg Dortch to be able to potentially pair, you know, Jacoby Brissett with, and they've been throwing the ball with the way that the running back situation has set up for them of not being able to trust anybody with Trey Benson being hurt. So, you know, again, I long way of saying, Kev, that I think cheap quarterbacks are definitely in play this week. It makes it tough to pay for the high end quarterbacks. I'm probably going to be building in the 6K range or below to start my builds this week, especially in single entry and in three max. And that's where I'm at. Kev, what say you? Come in and talk to the people about quarterback this week.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think, one, you highlighted two of the quarterbacks I definitely am going to get to. One is Joe Flacco, the other is Jacoby Brissett. Just, like, when it comes to Jacoby Brissett, like, you're right. Like, things haven't necessarily always been, like, pretty with him, but he's getting the job done. He's averaging over 21 DK points over his last four games. But he's also just gets a really good matchup against the 49ers. The 49ers defense is not the 49ers defense that you come to think of. You know, this year, they've just had so many injuries to this defense. Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, like, just the list goes on and on of all the guys they're missing right now. And the 49ers now become a very good team for us to target. And they allow the eighth most passing yards, the fifth most touchdowns, and the ninth most drafting points to quarterbacks. So, I mean, this is a very good play. Jacoby Brissett's 4,900. It's a very easy stack. I mean, to be quite honest, I guess we could talk about when we get tight end, but like Trey McBride should be 7,500. Like, he should not be in the mid 6Ks where he's at right now. Like, he really should. He's putting up wide receiver one usage. Like, that's what he's doing right now. And so, like, he is incredibly too cheap. And so, like, even if you just wanted to go Brissett and McBride and run it back, because now on the 49ers side, Ricky Pearsall's back this week, Juwan Jennings, George Kittle, Brock Purdy's back. So their entirety of their offense is going to be back out there this week. So this game has some shootout potential here in this game. And so, I mean, Brissett, I think, is 100% in play. Flacco, the Steelers are just terrible, terrible against, you know, the passing games this year, allowing nearly 300 passing yards, two passing touchdowns to quarterback. And Joe Flacco has just been on an absolute heater since taking over as a quarterback for this Bengals team. He's averaging over 300 passing yards per game, nearly three passing touchdowns, and nearly 26 DraftKings points per game over his last four games. So It's just he's been on it. And then, like I said, we've already seen this game once between these two teams. Now, they are divisional games. You know, sometimes divisional games can get a little wonky. But either way, Joe Flacco is great play. But I don't think you really got too much into him. But one of my other favorite plays, you talked about Davis Mills. And the reason I want to play Davis Mills is because the Jaguars' pass defense is absolutely dreadful. And now we get Justin Herbert who's going to be able to go there. He's 6,300. And I think it's a really good spot. Like, Herbert this year, he's running more. He's actually heading into this week. He was leading all quarterbacks in rushing yards. And this is a very pass-heavy offense as well, where they're averaging over 37 pass attempts per game, which is second most in the NFL. And he's second in passing yards, third in passing touchdowns. And so there's a lot to like with Justin Herbert. And like I said, I think this thing sets up really well schematically too, because one issue that the Chargers have had is keeping Justin Herbert upright, right? Their offensive line is in shambles. Joe Wolf's done for the year. Rashawn Slater's done for the year. But on the flip side of that, the Jaguars can't get pressure on nobody. They're dead last in the league in sacks. They're actually tied with the 49ers with only 12 sacks so far on the year. And they're allowing 261 passing yards, 2.5 passing touchdowns per game, and the third most DraftKings points to quarterbacks. So it sets up really well for Herbert. It's a team that really wants to run the ball pass the ball. And so I just really gravitate towards playing Justin Herbert. The only thing in the back of my mind, and it always is whenever the Chargers travel from the West Coast to the East Coast, where it's always like, man, is there going to be some sort of letdown here? But the matchup sets up really well. You know to pair him with Ladd McConkey, who's been on a heater. We'll talk about that when we get to wide receivers. Or Aronde Gatson, who's also back. Got a little bit of a scare in that Sunday night football game against the Steelers. But Gatson should be back as well. So there's a lot of different ways you can stack Justin Herbert up. And he's only 6,300. So I do like him here in this matchup against the Jaguars as well.
Yeah, I'm happy you brought Herbert up, because if I was, you know, paying up, quote unquote, for quarterback, I think him at 6,300 definitely makes a lot of sense. I was a little bit more excited of potentially not having to worry about Gatson, because that would have made the offense that much more concentrated, you know, with McConkey really coming into the fold. QJ's only 5K. Could have made for a really, really cheap passing attack. But even then, still, I think that we could see that stack really pay off. The other one too, Kev, the other quarterback in the cheap range who I wanted to talk about, which is going to sound gross. Well, and, you know, shout out to, you know, everybody who celebrates, but it's Jameis Winston week. He's back into the fold at 4,600. Not the guy that I was going to talk about, but just anytime that we could have, you know, the chance to, you know, get any more clips of Jameis or Jameis on the sideline, Jameis throwing touchdowns, Jameis talking to reporters. It's always going to be a fun week. But the guy who I was going to bring up just above him is Michael Penix Jr. You know, and I think every week that the Atlanta Falcons have been on the slate, right? Can we play Bijan? You know, and Bijan is going to have a tough matchup at least as it stands against this Carolina defense, who's been playing pretty solid so far this year. And Drake London always pops out in these sims and these optimizers, you know, come late. And he's been priced up a little bit, but Michael Penix has been looking to find him. I think he's got, you know, some really solid weapons, cheap weapons to attack him with, and Drake London and then Kyle Pitts as well. That could be a really, really fun way to attack this game in Atlanta. Some options that are cheap on the Carolina side as well too. I'm going to keep my eye on Michael Penix. Again, it's not always the most enticing play, you know, just played overseas. So do they come back with maybe a lag and that tough loss in overtime against Indy? But this defense, you know, is reeling. Maybe they come back and give them some short fields against this Carolina team who, you know, basically, you know, hasn't been in too many shootouts. But, you know, anytime Atlanta's in this dome, I'm going to keep them in mind. So 4,700 Michael Penix, I might have to look to build some teams around.
I can't get there. Like,
of course, Kevin can talk about Davis Mills and the likes, but
It's not that it's more so just matchup to me for most anything. And like, I don't know, that game just feels kind of gross. Like, where it feels like it's just going to be really low scoring. I don't know. I think it would be – there's one game we haven't talked about, and that's one of the games that has the highest total on the slate, and that's not the Buffalo and Tampa Bay game, but the Rams and the Seahawks game.
Yep.
That game is a 48.5 point total. These two teams are really similar in how they play. These are two teams that are at like the forefront of doing this whole where they're playing out of heavy personnel on passing downs and they're throwing out of it, which is throwing teams off. It's been a lot of discussion around that recently. Both of these teams are doing that, playing heavily, 12, 13 personnel. And, the Seahawks started it, then the Rams copied it. But anyways, like, is there any interest? Do you have any interest in this game? I mean, you have JSN and Puka in this game. Stafford and Sam Darnold here. Yeah. Rashid Shaheed, who's, Devontae Adams, with the Rams, And, Stafford has been, balling this year. Like, he's been playing really well, which is hilarious because, it wasn't that long ago that, that people were worried that he wasn't even going to play this year. And, because of that back injury. But, just the last three – week four, 30.4. Week five, 29.6. Had a stinker in week six. But then week seven, 27.4, 26.8, and 26.9 for Matthew Stafford. It's just on an absolute heater right now. And the thing was – Stafford's on the more expensive side is 6,600. But you just know who you're stacking with. Like, it's not one of these teams where you're like, okay, who should I try to stack this guy with, because it's so consolidated with this offense where it's Puka and it's Devontae Adams. And that's pretty much it for the most part. Where on the other side, it's kind of the same thing when it comes to the Seahawks. We know JSN's going to get peppered. We know that it's easy sacking partners. Now, they are expensive, but I think there's a lot of value on the slate that, like, do you have any interest in this game?
Yeah, this is a game, Kev, where I felt like if I play it, I gotta have five or six pieces from the game. Like I gotta overstack it because of what the Stafford is. Since he's been at the Rams, I don't think he's had higher than two touchdowns against the Seattle defense in any game that he's played in. And we know that when we're targeting Stafford, we need the touchdowns. We got to have the touchdowns flow because he's got to be able to pay off the DFS price tag. And so do the touchdowns come through Kyren Williams or maybe Blake Corum? Who knows? This offense is definitely concentrated, as you alluded to. But I think that the way I'd play it is Sam Darnold's side, because we're going to be playing JSN. If we're attacking this game, we're playing JSN hands down. And I feel like if JSN is really popping in the way that we talked last week, that's really helping Sam Darnold. Like Puka can pop regardless of who's out there. I know Devontae Adams has been banged up for a little bit. So Puka could definitely be the play. And you could, you get these cheap tight ends who are on the field for Seattle. And they rotate whoever in for the Rams, right? Davis Allen 1 week and, the rookie Ferguson and this like that. So I think the Darnold way with a couple, maybe it's even Kyren and Puka saying that, like, if I don't have Stafford, then touchdowns are coming through the ground. But I would overstack this game for sure because of the prices. And nobody's going to play that, right? Because everybody, you'll get Puka on one-off teams. You'll get JSN on one-off teams. But I don't know that people will really be looking to overstack this game. And that's where I feel like you could get the leverage on the field. Because if this game does go off, then, those pieces are going off at a high price tag. And you'll just find cheap pieces elsewhere to kind of alleviate, spots.
We haven't got wide receiver yet. But, JSN is 8,900 and Puka is 8,700. So,
right.
like you are paying something for it. You're paying a lot to get there to that stack. But – even Devontae Adams is 7,700. So, like,
right.
Yeah. But like I said, I think there's a lot of value on the slate. But I do think that game, I think that game could go a lot of different ways because I do have a lot of respect for the Seahawks defense and I have a lot of respect for the Rams defense this year. So, it's possible that a game doesn't hit the level that you're going to need for a guy to have a score, especially with how expensive everybody is, because you really need with how expensive all those players are, like, you really need that game to go nuclear for, like, you to, like, have to have it. Now, is it possible? Sure. I mean, it has, you know, like I said, it has one of the higher totals on the slate for this weekend, but it's not as high that you probably would expect. I mean, it's 48.5, which isn't bad. I think that's, like, the fourth or fifth highest on the slate. But I just think that, like, for it's a really you needing this slate, or for them to get there, this game has to go off. Like, it has to be like a 38, you know, 35 type game environment where there's just all kinds of points scored. I feel like that's the way this is.
Yeah, and it definitely could be, Kev. So if you definitely are playing, like, if I'm playing pieces from that game, and even though he's like 9K, which is insane, like, the way that JSN is being used right now, like, I can't argue against somebody playing him as a one off. Like, it's really just insane what the dude's doing. And he gets 20 DK points last week in a game where they're pretty much blowing out the team after the first quarter with defensive touchdowns and what have you. So the efficiency and just the rate that he's popping on, you know, he's got insane metrics with yards per target because his target share isn't even, you know, that much. It's just efficiency has really been the name to the game with him. And if he ever sees, like, the volume, and this is that matchup, right? Like, they could see, he could see, you know, immense volume in this game if the Rams are pushing the pace. So yeah, one off or game stack, I'll still get to him. But yeah, it's an interesting game to call out, Kev, because I don't think the overstack people will get there because of the pricing. Let's talk about running back, because running back can you know, really shape the way that teams are being built for people. And as I alluded to, Kev, this is probably going to be the tightest running back core that I have all year. So I'm curious to see where your thoughts are. But Christian McCaffrey at 9K, he's just still too cheap. He's one of the best plays on the slate. The way that he's being utilized, and especially with Mac Jones, you know, potentially being back, or I'm sorry, Brock Purdy potentially being back at the helm. You know, I think they probably lean on Christian McCaffrey even more with it being his first game back from injury. In games, you know, they're needing games, right, to win as we're getting to that point in the season where these games are mattering to shape up playoffs. So Christian McCaffrey is the starting point for me when it comes to running back position, trying to find ways to get him in my lineup. Now I'm going to skip down to the cheap end range before I go back to high value to talk about another guy that I love and we'll be trying to get into lineups. But for me, the next two will be Jalen Warren and Chase Brown in the same game. Even though Jalen Warren 6,100, he's pretty much taken over a lead back role in this offense. It's about time that they start giving him looks because they realize he's a catalyst, and we love the pass catching work that he can see with a guy like Aaron Rodgers going against the Cincinnati defense that we targeted all year. Got to get him into lineups. And then on the other side, I think we're seeing, you know, Chase Brown who he was at the end of last season, right? And you love to see this with Joe Flacco and potentially getting Joe Burrow back. Like, Chase Brown could be getting going at the right time. He's only 5,700. We've been targeting running backs against the Steelers. You've talked about it, Kev, ad nauseum, like, all year. And he's just too cheap with the amount of volume that he's going to see. I believe Samaje Perine's already been ruled out, or is, like, pretty much expected to miss this game. And so if that's the case, like, it's just wheels up for Chase Brown and what he could see in this matchup. So those are the next two. And then the other guy that I have interest in, you know, Kev, if we're not going to play or if we're not going to get to Justin Herbert in a matchup that, you know, really looks enticing on paper, as much of a pass funnel as Jacksonville's been, you know, they still, the Chargers will still be happy to run the ball. And Kanami Vidal, you know, he's 5,900. He's been getting work, and I'm happy to get him and play him, whether the field's getting to him or not in this matchup against Jacksonville, who's really just allowed points to everybody, you know, and we know that come in the red zone, if the Chargers passing game isn't going, they'd be happy to run the ball, you know, three straight times, and make their name that way. So he's probably my fifth option, but I'm definitely keeping him in mind and play because of what his price that comes in. Now, the next guy that I want to bring into, who's pretty much my second favorite play, it's just the price tag makes it tough to digest, is Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs is 7,800, And the usage that this dude is seeing is absolutely incredible. He gets to go against, you know, a Jameis Winston-led Giants team on the other side. The Giants just fire Brian Daboll. We have no idea what to, you know, really expect from this offense, but we know it's potentially going to be reeling. I haven't even seen the spread for this game yet, Kev, but I can't imagine the Packers are anything short of a touchdown favorite, even on the road. So, and this defense could really be giving them short fields if we get turnover Jameis. You know, we love Jameis games, right? Because, you know, he has the propensity to turn it over, but he also has the propensity to push the pace with his acumen. So it's like either game script, I could see, you know, Josh Jacobs still being involved in getting the work. He's 7,800. So it really makes it tough, right? If you want to play him and Christian McCaffrey together, which I'll definitely try and do and build around teams, but with his usage here, and we just have, you know, we have to thank the fantasy gods for getting Josh Jacobs out of purgatory in Oakland or Vegas or whatever it was when he was there. Because, you know, since he's joined Green Bay, they've really like tapped into, you know, what his potential is, and they, you know, run everything through this guy. And the way Jordan Love's been playing too, Kev, it's like they need to start giving the ball to Josh Jacobs more if they want to, you know, if they want to be able to, you know, get right on the season and get some wins under their belt. So that's where I'm at, Kev, right now. It's like it's those five running backs and pretty much where I'm starting. Of course, things can always open up through the week, but that's where I'm at this point. As we break it down on Thursday, what are you doing at the running back position when it comes to week 11? Are you on mute, Kev?
Rookie mistake. So, like, I agree with you. Like, so Josh Jacobs, Jalen Warren, and Chase Brown, I think, are all incredible plays. I mean, Chase Brown being 5,700. And I don't think Samaje Perine plays. He hasn't practiced. And we saw before they went on bye, because Samaje Perine went down super early in that game, where Chase Brown ended up playing 95% of the snaps. He ran 84% of the routes and was targeted 14 times in that game. Like, this is usage we saw last year from him in the second half of the year, whenever he was just crushing every single week. And the difference is now, though, like, he was way more expensive last year, you know, in the second half, where right now he's only 5,700. And so, I mean, Brown is also, I mean, he's been playing well even prior to this, whenever Perine was playing, where he's racked up over 100 total yards in three straight games. And he's averaging over 19 DK points over the last three games. So there's a lot to like here with Chase Brown. I expect Chase Brown to be really chalky. I think there's going to be a lot of ownership come in on him, rightfully so. I think it's good chalk. Jalen Warren, incredible game. Now, it is still a little bit more of a split with him, but he's still playing about 60% of the snaps. He's handling roughly about 17 touches per game or 17 opportunities per game. But the last time these two teams faced, I mean, Jalen Warren went off for 158 total yards on 20 touches. He just didn't find the end zone in that game because Aaron Rodgers threw four touchdowns. But the Bengals have been so bad against running backs. They are allowing a ridiculous 141 rushing yards per game and over a touchdown per game to running backs, which obviously doesn't take a rocket science to figure out that they're allowing the most DraftKings points to running backs. So Jalen Warren is in a really good spot. Love that call with him. One running back that I absolutely love that's actually, I think, good leverage off of Chase Brown in that price range is going to be Woody Marks. I really like Woody Marks here. He looks like he's taking over this backfield. He played 81% of the snaps last week, 14 carries, 3 targets, total 81 total yards and a score. But he's super cheap. He's 5,400. For Woody Marks, and it, you get one of the better matchups too against the Titans, and so I like this spot here. The Titans are allowing almost 115 rushing yards per game, 1.5 touchdowns per game to running backs. Sets up really well. Game script is going to be in their favor, even if it is on the road. But still, the Titans' offense has been horrible this year, and so I think you feel really good about Woody Marks in this matchup against the Titans, and so I think he's another value piece that opens up at 5,400. It doesn't sound like J.K. Dobbins is going to play, so R.J. Harvey opens up at 5,400 as well. I'm not as excited about him as I am some of the other running backs in the range, mainly because the Chiefs are really good against the run. I know last time we saw when they were playing the Bills, you know, that James Cook got there, but there's a big difference between, you know, the Broncos rushing attack and the Bills rushing attack with Josh Allen. I don't see them being able to run the ball on him like that. I think if RJ Harvey got there, it would have to be through the air and, you know, pass catching work, which is possible. Like at 5,400, like he doesn't have to go crazy for him to pay off that price. And so, like, I don't think he's like a terrible play, but I would prefer Woody Marks. I would prefer Chase Brown that are right there, you know, in that same area, in the same range. Some of it too, I'd be interested to see what his ownership turns out to be once we get to Sunday. So I know a lot of people love them, some RJ Harvey. So, but I also think if you want to play somebody from that game, like I think you could play Kareem Hunt, who's cheaper. Isaiah Pacheco's not playing. We saw the last time these two teams faced off, or not these two teams faced off, the last time that before their bye with the Chiefs, without Isaiah Pacheco, he played 78% of the snaps. He ran 48% of the routes. We know that he's going to have the red zone role inside the goal line. He's going to get the goal line carries, and he's also going to get the pass catching work on third downs. And the Broncos have struggled some with pass catching running backs, 15th most receiving yards, third most receiving touchdowns running backs this year. And so I think Kareem Hunt is kind of an interesting play, but I don't think he has quite the ceiling as some of these other running backs that are in this range, though. Like, I don't think Kareem Hunt's going to go out and score, you know, 25 DraftKings points. I think he might be able to get you, if things go well, you know, 17 to 18, something like that, which is probably not enough. But I still think that there's some intrigue to play Kareem Hunt at 5,200.
No, definitely. Kareem Hunt's in play for sure. If we don't have Isaiah Pacheco, that would be huge. And it could be forgotten about, right? Even the last time that we had no Pacheco and potentially could run Kareem Hunt out there, I think that was Kyle Manungai week. So there was a lot of value across the board at running back. But he just always seems to kind of get overlooked unless it's on a showdown slate or something like that, island game. So, I'm definitely going to make a note here and keep an eye on things for that game and that situation, because that is a late game too. So we could have potential for, you know, late swappability to a guy like Kareem Hunt and things like that in the afternoon window. Great call out, Kev. Anything else you wanted to talk about running back and explore before we move to wide receiver?
I mean, you hit on something when it comes to the top guys, I think it's Chris McCaffrey. I think it's Josh Jacobs for sure. I think both of those two guys are the two best top pay up options on the slate. I think James Cook is probably in play too. We've seen Tampa Bay, who typically are pretty good against running backs, have had times where they've struggled this year. I mean, we saw last week Travion Henderson go off against them. But James Cook, and definitely if there's going to be weather issues with that game, you know, we can already talk about it, but 20-mile-an-hour winds, 30-mile-an-hour gusts, possibly rain and snow in that game. If we get all that, if that's what ends up coming, then, I mean, James Cook could end up seeing 20, 25 touches in that game. So I think he's at least interesting at this cost. I would just prefer to pay the extra $500 to get up to Jacobs if I was going to do it, just because the Giants have been dreadful against the run. The other one, I guess, could be like Rico Dowdle, who's, you know, I guess coming off what I think where probably most people weren't, were one of his worst games, you know, since he's taken over as a starter, because, I mean, this was a player that was averaging 30 fantasy points per game, which is not sustainable for him last week. They lost to the Saints, which was absolutely just disgusting that they lost to the Saints, and it really wasn't even close. I mean, it wasn't a blowout, but, like, it just never really felt like the Panthers were in that game. Now, I will say the Falcons are really bad against running backs. They have really struggled with top running backs this year. But this game is on the road for them. This game is in Atlanta. You know, Atlanta is, I think, have lost four straight games. Like, this is a kind of a must-win for Atlanta. So, you know, I don't mind Rico Dowdle, but at 6,800, there's definitely some volatility.
Yeah, well, I mean, if anybody was watching that early game on last Sunday, you know, and Jonathan Taylor just goes and, you know, breaks fantasy against this team, that might be enough to jump off the page. It would be interesting, Kev, to see what Dowdle's ownership comes in at, because he was a popular play, you know, last week of everybody going there. 6,300 or something, I believe, is what his price tag was, and he puts up 15. So, you know, he didn't necessarily kill you, but he wasn't a reason that you won because of, you know, so many other big scores, especially with Achan and Gibbs and things of that nature, putting the slate out of reach. But, you know, in this matchup here against Atlanta, you know, I have interest in Michael Penix, so I'm definitely going to be looking at Dowdle as a run back for me. in a game stack there. He's on the injury report, so there's a lot of factors that could lead Rico Dowdle to be lower owned than he potentially should be. So, yeah, fun running back slate there. Again, I got a tight player pool as it stands right now, but definitely some things to monitor as we get closer to luck on Sunday. Kev, let's talk about wide receiver. I mean, this is really where lineups have been won or lost so far this year because of the way that these studs are playing. And we have, you know, we pretty much have four really big studs. And then, you know, I want to throw Drake London in, and Drake London's a guy I never could get right. But when you look at the usage that he's absolutely seeing this year with Michael Penix, like, I feel like it's just not being talked about because of what Puka and JSN and Jamar Chase and Rashid Rice are doing. The other four guys at the top who've just been at the upper echelon of the wide receiver position. But Drake London, you know, finds himself at 7,400. I think I said he was 6K earlier, and that's usually where he has been. But now the price has caught up to him. DraftKings has gotten wise with what he's been putting up. And in a matchup there at home, 7,400 makes a ton of sense. And so, like, you mentioned all these guys, and, like, I think, you know, Jamar Chase is definitely going to be a guy who people want to get to in this matchup against Pittsburgh. He's had some big games over the years. And, you know, I think that this is a definitely – and what has he seen? Like, 60-some targets since Joe Flacco's become the quarterback. Like, he's just going to be a guy who pops off the page. Obviously, Puka and JSN at 8,700 and 8,900 respectively. These are guys that people always look to get into lineups with the usage that they're seeing. They're in the same matchup going against each other, as you alluded to, Kev. If you want to play one or both of them, it does constrict your lineup a little bit. So I'll be interested to see how people build. I most likely won't get to them necessarily on one-offs, just the way I play and build my teams. But, you know, definitely won't fault anybody for going that way. I'd probably just take the same.
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Shop Wayfair now, month-long big deals. Yeah, these are steals.
70% less money spent.
You can't go wrong. Check out this song. Best gift at four. Black Friday scores.
Garlands and trees.
Saving with ease.
Lights for your house. Lamps for your spouse.
Save at Wayfair.
On dining chairs. Mattresses too. Sheets that are you. Everything home. These things in chrome.
Hands of the clock. Area roads.
Fast shipping while Wayfair is out.
Win the season. Win the season.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And go chase as my one-off play for the week. You know, I really want to like Rashid Rice. It's a tough matchup for him going against this team, but I mean, he's popped in pretty much, you know, almost every matchup that he's been in, and we know how much Patrick Mahomes has relied on him thus far and being the catalyst. So I expect Andy Reid to definitely scheme up some plays to get him going. It's just, you know, in that game environment at 7,900, is that going to be enough? Mentioned already, Justin Jefferson being at 7,500. This is a guy I definitely want to keep my eye on. This Chicago secondary has been giving up points in bunches to the wide receiver position. They don't have anybody that can cover Justin Jefferson. And we know Justin Jefferson Jettis has gone berserk against this team before. Kind of disappointed in that matchup. Everybody disappointed for 3.5 quarters on the Minnesota side in that matchup earlier this year on the road. But now they're at home facing this team. And I really expect Justin Jefferson to have a big game there. So I definitely have him circled. tackle in game stacks or one-offs. Now, when we get into the wide receiver slate outside of that, Kev, you know, there's some interesting things to talk about. You know, especially in the low end, you know, 5K and below range, we got, you know, guys like Parker Washington, who is on the injury report, but dealing with some soft tissue stuff, I believe, but he's 5,100. He's now, a double dip candidate, right? When he's taking a punt return back for a touchdown and then being able to score a touchdown just with Travis Hunter being on the injury report and Brian Thomas missing some time, he's definitely found a rapport there. Just behind him is Romeo Doubs, who, you know, was on the injury report, but now I think he's going to be off. I think he left the game is what it was on Monday night or whenever that Green Bay game was, the Green Bay and Philly stinker. But he's only 5K and he's definitely, you know, carved out a solid role for himself in that offense for Green Bay. I mentioned Jordan Addison, you know, being only 5,500, which is really what makes me like McCarthy stacks. And then the Arizona situation, right, at wide receiver, I think is potentially what could open up some value. We got Michael Wilson, who I believe is in the $3,800. Greg Dortch is $3,300. So those are your value receivers as it stands right now. I think Calvin Austin III is interesting for Pittsburgh. At only 4K, he's seen his targets kind of increase, and it is a tough matchup for wide receiver ones and DK Metcalf on the other side. That's like the one thing that Cincinnati defense has been able to do. Like, they've been really bad all year, but they've been stopping wide receiver ones with the shutdown corner that they have over there. Outside of that, Cav, you know, the only other guy that I wanted, or I guess, you know, the guys – Chargers guys are less interesting to me with Gadsden potentially back, but I think, you know, both either one of McConkey and Johnson, I probably am playing them with Herbert, but I think those are solid plays. But the other guy from a one-off standpoint is Nico Collins at 6,700, and you've been talking about him, I feel like, on a couple shows so far this year. But 6,700 for Nico, Davis Mills knows one thing. I mean, it's kind of like a situation with like a Justin Fields, right? You know, these guys, they come in and they just lock onto one receiver. That's the one receiver that they know they could throw. And I'll give Davis Mills some credit. He does, you know, tend to find Dalton Schultz as well in the mix. But Nico has definitely been the guy that they really want to get going in this offense. And they've had a solid rapport. Nico, I think he missed Nico on a touchdown last week, or a touchdown that got called back. So he could have even had a bigger game than the 20-some points that he put up. This is a Tennessee team, as you alluded to, Kev, that we've been targeting all year. And he definitely finds himself in a decent matchup. Really good matchup there at only 6,700 to be able to pay that price tag off. So that's what I'm thinking at right now, Kev. I mean, you know how I always do. My wide receivers are going to be tied to my quarterbacks, but you know, Nico Collins, the Minnesota receivers, the Arizona receivers, potentially Calvin Austin. Those guys are going to be, and Parker Washington, I guess, to some extent, those guys are going to be in the mix, you know, for just, you know, guys that I target that aren't in game stacks, so to speak, as we break down the slate right now on Thursday. And of course, Jamar Chase. Where are you at this week with a wide receiver?
Well, first I want to start off with a question. I didn't want to interrupt you, but I feel like all year, or like that, like you really just don't need to pay up for wide receiver, like ever. Like, I just don't feel like it's ever been necessary. Like when I look at like Puka Nacua and JSN, don't get me wrong, the upside is there. Like they could have a 40-point game. Like it's definitely in the range of possibilities. But for the most part this year, we kind of talked about it last week with JSN. Like JSN's been incredible, but JSN's been more incredible as like he's just giving you really solid production every single week. But he doesn't – like, he only has two real spike weeks where he scored 33 and 30 DraftKings points. Other than that, it has been a lot more of, like, in the mid to low 20s. And at 8,900, like, you need him to go off. Like, you need an absolute spike week for him to kill you. Like, he could score 20, 25, and it doesn't – it's not really going to be enough. There's going to be players that are cheaper than him that score more. Same thing with Puka. Like, the upside's there for these guys, for sure. But I don't think – I think the play – for the most part this year has been more paying up for running back than it is paying up for wide receiver and trying to fit in, as many running backs as you can play three running backs or stuff like that. Where it comes to wide receiver, I feel like every week it's more of the middle tier wide receiver that you really want to play versus paying up for these really expensive top guys. Don't get me wrong. Yep. Again, Jamar Chase at 8,500 could go absolutely insane because, you know, but even him, like he has 2 weeks this year where he scored 41.1 and 39.9. But, you know, other than that, it's been 25, 21, and 20 with Joe Flacco, which, again, not bad at all. But, like, you know, for $8,500, like, you need him to score, you know, 30-plus. And, again, the upside's certainly there. But I would just say, why not just play T. Higgins, who is significantly cheaper and is putting up similar production? T. Higgins is $6,000. And, you know, we saw him last time, last time they played, he put up, he dropped 36 fantasy points or 36 DK points in that game. But since Joe Flacco has taken over at quarterback, T. Higgins is averaging 20 DraftKings points per game. And so, like, he's an incredible game. It's very consolidated target share between T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. Since Joe Flacco's got there, he's averaging almost 7.5 targets, 5 catches, 80 receiving yards, and nearly a touchdown over that span. We've already talked about how bad the Steelers' pass defense is. They allow by far the most fantasy points to outside wide receivers, most DraftKings points to outside wide receivers. And so that's where T. Higgins almost exclusively plays. So I love T. Higgins in this spot at 6K. I feel like you can get just as much production from him as you can from Ja'Marr Chase, and he's significantly cheaper. So I love T. Higgins at the cost. I love Ladd McConkey. Over the last 5 weeks, Ladd McConkey has absolutely crushed it. So I really like him. If I'm playing Justin Herbert, it's going to be Ladd McConkey and probably Aronde Gatson. I think, you know, cheaper than that, I think you start going down. Ricky Pearsall now being back, I think I have full confidence that he's 100% healthy. He would not be playing if he wasn't. The 49ers are historically cautious when it comes to their players and bringing them back before they're healthy. And so I don't think that if Pearsall's playing, I think he's really healthy. So I do like him as like a run back option. He was playing really well before he got hurt. So I like him at cost. He's $5,400. I think a couple other plays that you could look at, I think are intriguing for me. One, Luther Burden. Like but I was hoping that DJ Moore was going to miss, because with DJ Moore off the field, we saw a pretty big bump for Luther Burden. But I just don't know if, like, how much longer is it going to take for the Bears coaching staff to finally use Luther Burden? Because he's clearly the better wide receiver on this team. Like, I think he looks like the number two wide receiver on this team. He's great yards after the catch. He's super explosive. Like, I feel like they need to get him the ball. But it looks like maybe DJ Moore might play. He didn't practice on Wednesday, but he got back and got a limited practice today. But if he were to miss, $3,700 Luther Burden, I would be about that live.
Kev, do you mean Alameda Zaccheaus at $3,300?
No. We can't. Of course, he went back to being a pumpkin last week. Of course, the 1 week he scores a touchdown. And that's better. It's all he does. But
no, yeah, Luther Burden. I mean, both, you know, I think it's we're further along the season, right? It's week 11 now. They've had much more time to, you know, implement Ben Johnson's offense and see, you know, how to acclimate these players. And so, and Luther Burden, you know, big catches last week in that game when they were playing from behind. So I think there's definitely something to be said there to get him into, you know, probably more of a game environment play for me than as a one-off, but I do think that we might start to see his price creep up with just like DJ Moore's role is defined. I mean, he's just not going to see any more uptick in usage, I think, as the way that the offense is just currently structured. It's just not happening with him and Caleb for whatever reason. And so, you know, some of these other guys are definitely going to come into mix. Now, you know, Rome is on the injury report, and he's kind of been off and on. So I think that's definitely something to monitor. If we don't, you know, if we really don't have, you know, Rome for a week, finally, of him, you know, being on the injury report pretty much for the past couple of weeks and then not playing, that could be something there. But other than that, you know, I think we're just stuck with a game environment bet with him. And Kev, you know, you brought up something interesting with the San Francisco pass catchers, you know, bringing up Ricky Pearsall. I do think it's interesting that we have, you know, Mac or I keep saying Mac Jones, we have Brock Purdy back in the mix here, because Brock and Juwan Jennings, you know, really had a strong, you know, rapport. And Juwan Jennings has kind of been the guy, you know, that, you know, has popped on paper, that optimizers have definitely been touting, and people have been getting him onto their lineups, you know, a lot, right? Especially with them being that weight window of late swapping and what have you. We haven't seen his price, you know, really change all that much to, you know, over the past couple of weeks. And now that we have, you know, Purdy coming back, and we'll see, you know, just how healthy he is. But, you know, Juwan Jennings is somebody that I kind of circled for that reason. I think that, you know, the San Francisco side of that game is interesting too. Even if you're not, you know, maybe if you're going Brissett still, because we can have that Brissett and McBride mini that's really strong. But if we want to play, you know, McCaffrey and Jennings and, you know, George Kittle or something like that, and really have that game take off, I think it makes for an interesting game stack. So I was happy you brought up that San Francisco situation.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, I mean, I lean Pearsall, but I don't mind Juwan Jennings either. Jennings is also just, I mean, I think he's what, 5,100 now?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's, you know, more expensive than what he was. I mean, he's been in the 4K range, and I've been playing him the last 2 weeks quite a bit. So, yeah, 5,100 for Juwan Jennings. So, I think he's a decent play as well. And I'll be interested kind of where I'll be interested to see where ownership lies with some of these guys. I don't think they're going to be anything crazy to anything worry about. I also think somebody that I didn't really talk about, but Darius Slayton, I think, is always interesting Jameis Winston out there, because, you know, Jameis Winston's just going to chuck it. Like, he's just who he is. He's going to be out there and be a gunslinger. And so Darius Slayton, I think, is interesting. You know, I've been on him the last couple of weeks. He hasn't quite gotten there. I feel like he would have gotten there fully if Jackson Dart didn't get hurt in the third quarter and get knocked out of that game, because he was having himself a pretty decent day, 4 catches, 89 yards last week. For Darius Slayton, but I was really upset once Jackson Dart went down, because I had some pretty quality teams that were looking pretty good at that point, and then Jackson Dart went down and kind of killed all that. But Darius Slayton, I think, is in play as a cheaper, probably more of a one-off, because I mean, or maybe a mini sack between Slayton and Josh Jacobs. I think you can go there. I didn't really talk about any of the more expensive wide receivers, but I completely agree with you about Nico Collins as well. It's just, you laid it out. I don't really need to get too far into it, but yes, Davis Mills absolutely peppers him with targets. He's done it every single time. So I think Nico, Ladd McConkey, Adunze, I do think is interesting as a play too at 6,200. Like, again, you know, kind of had a bounce back spot last week, 6 for 86 and a score last week against the Giants. Here against the and I'm going to be interested to see how this game plays out, because on one hand, for the most part, last year, Caleb Williams really struggled with blitz, but this year, like digging into the numbers more, like, Caleb Williams has actually been really good when he's been blitzed this year. I think you actually don't want to blitz Caleb Williams, is actually the thing. So, like, whenever you blitz him, he's got 8 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, completing like 71% of his passes. But in games where he is not on, when he's not blitzed, he has like 5 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and his completion percentage drops to like 64% or something crazy. Like, I don't know how that works, but yes. So it'll be interesting what the Vikings decide to do because, you know, traditionally Brian Flores is a defensive coordinator that brings heavy blitz packages. And I don't know if he does that, because the last time these teams already played each other, and Caleb Williams ripped them apart whenever they did that. So I will be interested to see how that plays out. But I do think Roma Dunze at 6,200 is also in play.
Yeah, if I'm playing Caleb, I'm gonna. I know that we had the bananas Caleb week with Rome not getting there. Rome has a donut, and everybody else on the offense pops. But anytime that I'm playing Caleb, I just gotta put Rome in there because of the upside that I know he's been boom or bust over the past couple of weeks. But we know what that output could be. If they're on, and he's definitely, you know, the guy that he's looking for when they get into the red zone and green zone range. So yeah, interesting. Yeah, he's always played. He's played the Vikings good his entire career. That's actually like one of the bright spots that he had last year. Were those games against the Brian Flores defenses? So yeah, maybe Caleb might be in play this week in that game. And I'm looking at the JJ side, but we won't talk about that. We'll move on to tight end Kev, and talk about the way that the tight end slate has been shaping up. And all year, you know, we kind of alluded to it last week too, when Trey McBride was first in that 6K range, and you definitely had decision points on what you wanted to do. We had been targeting, you know, the cheap value end of tight end. And there are still some options, I feel like, that stand out on the page. But, you know, as long as Jacoby Brissett is at the helm here, quarterback, you hit it on the head. I mean, Trey McBride just might be too cheap, even at 6,300, with the usage that he's seeing. It's absolutely incredible. The guy's just a magnet for Jacoby, and they're using him as such. So, you know, it's 6,300. If you can find ways to get him into your lineup, so you definitely want to do so. Now, what becomes interesting, Kev, is with Brock Purdy back, you know, George Kittle only being 5K, you know, he's quietly having a pretty solid year. I know he was banged up earlier to start, but, you know, he gets his guy back. He gets Brock Purdy back and at the helm, and he could really be in for a good day as well, too. At only 5K. So I think both of those guys, you know, are really decision points for me on how I'm building my lineups and if I can get to them. If I can't get to them, we get into the cheap range. And this is pretty much how it shapes up for me. I have interest in Kyle Pitts at only 4K against the Carolina team. I think that they're going to have to throw, I think the output for Penix is going to be, he has to throw more than they're accustomed to. And at only 4K, I think I could get behind some Kyle Pitts. Theo Johnson is a little bit of interest to me with Jameis Winston being back there. You know, these backup quarterbacks and leaning on tight ends, leaning on stuff that's across the middle of the field is something that I kind of think about. You did allude to, you know, Jameis and, you know, his – you know, experience, I guess, for lack of a better word, might lend him to still be in that gunsling mentality. But Theo Johnson is one that I definitely have my eye on to be able to keep in mind. I think Mark Andrews at 3,500 comes in, you know, just a little bit too cheap for me in this matchup here. We haven't talked about Baltimore pretty much, you know, all pod, but, you know, Mark Andrews being in this range and the role that he has in this offense and how much he's leaned on is definitely of some interest to me. I'll be curious to see what Dawson Knox's ownership comes in. This is a guy who I never really play outside of island games for Buffalo, or, you know, short game slates, just with the way that Buffalo, even with Dalton Kincaid not being out there, the way that Buffalo kind of treats the offense, it becomes hard. But he is 3,300 and there is no Kincaid. So I expect people to definitely want to go to him. The Pittsburgh tight end situation, Kev, is of interest to me as well, too. They have three, right, that they kind of just roll out there, and Freiermuth and Darnell Washington and Jonnu Smith. So, you know, do you pick the right one? I don't know. But I think, you know, these guys are involved enough. If I need a spot at tight end that's cheap on Roger Stacks or, you know, not even, you know, even if I was playing one off, I think I could get behind these guys in this matchup with Cincinnati just because it is so enticing. And then the other guy that I think that I'll probably try and find onto some rosters is TJ Hockenson, who, you know, is definitely getting back into the mix there. He's only 3K. I know it hasn't looked great in the box scores and, you know, especially only one touchdown in the past four games, but in this home environment against the Chicago defense, I think, we could be into seeing an uptick for work, for TJ Hockenson here. And I'm interested in JJ McCarthy too. So, yeah, I mean, cheap tight ends, I think, are definitely in the 3K and 4K range is what I'm looking at. But, I mean, I really want to try and see if there's ways that I can, you know, get Trey McBride or George Kittle onto my main rosters with the way that they shape up. Kev, talk to the people about tight end and what could be sticking out to you this week as we break it down.
I mean, I don't need to talk about McBride or Kittle. I completely agree with you on that. I've already Aronde Gatson, I love him as well. The Jaguars are also terrible against tight ends. And obviously, whatever injury he suffered, well, it must have been some sort of precaution the way they pulled him out, because I mean he's been practicing in full all week, and he's 4,600. Like, and he has the potential to put up the same production as like a Trey McBride or a I mean, he can smash. I mean, we've seen him seen him do it already this year, where he dropped 32. You know, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, but like he's too cheap, I think, for the role that he has now with that offense. Like his game against the Steelers, he actually should have been better. Like, he dropped a couple passes, which is not something we've really seen from him, but he's 4,600. Really like that. Theo Johnson, completely agree with you on that. Like, he's been this team's, I mean, honestly, one of the most consistent pass catchers for this team, right now. But I mean, Theo, you know, last week, 7 of 8 targets, 75 yards for him last week. So had quite a bit of him, but just didn't quite be enough with once Jackson Dart went out. So I'm still upset about that. But either way, the Packers do struggle against tight ends. Like, that's the one spot that they tend to struggle against. They allow the 12th most DraftKings points to tight ends. So I think Theo is definitely in play. He's their red zone target. Again, when you have Jameis out there, he's going to force the ball to him. I think Dalton Schultz is also a really good play. You know, he's the other guy that Davis Mills heavily targets. Like, he is the safety valve. Earned 11 targets last week, 753 and a score last week for Dalton Schultz. Had him in my Davis Mills stack. It was him, Schultz, and Nico, which was phenomenal. But he's been really good. I mean, he's seen 32 targets over his last 4 weeks as well. So, I mean, Dalton Schultz, I think, is a pretty strong play at $3,900. I like him. Noah Fant, I keep talking about him. I'm going to keep talking about him because the Steelers, again, are bad against tight ends. And Noah Fant is $3,200. So, I like him. The last time these teams played, he scored a touchdown, 4 catches, 44 yards. And so, I think Noah Fant is also in play. Maybe it's a way to lower down the price of the stack if you're going to go all in on this Steelers game. Also, on the other side, you hit on it. I like Jonnu. Jonnu has actually led this team in targets this year, routes. So I do like Jonnu Smith. I know the last time these two teams played, Patty Fry had like a legacy game, went absolutely nuclear.
Berserk.
But it was a lot of it was on that. He had that one really long run, which is, I feel like, I don't know if that's ever happened. That might have been the longest run of his entire career. He was probably completely gassed after that. But, like, that's not something you think of when you think of Pat Freiermuth. But still, he crushed. But, I mean, the Bengals are just so bad against tight ends. Like, they are historically bad against that position. They have already allowed 12 touchdowns. The next closest team is the Jags, who allowed 7 touchdowns to tight ends. Like, it is not even close to how bad they've been against tight ends. And they've allowed 4 more DK points per game to the position. And so, and we know the Steelers are going to run heavy, you know, 2-3 tight end sets. Like, it's what they don't have a choice because they don't have a number 2 wide receiver. And DK Metcalf, like, I know people may have some, I don't know if people would have any interest in him, but like, I have zero interest in him. I have a lot of respect for DJ Turner, who's the outside corner for the Bengals. Like, he has been shutting down like really good outside, you know, wide receivers this year. And so I just don't really have any interest there. But I think, once again, if I'm going to play the side, like, it's going to be the tight ends and it's going to be Jaylen Warren. And so I prefer Jonnu, but like, you can make a case for Patty Fry, but I would say with Jonnu, he's actually cheaper than Patty Fry is. Freiermuth is 3,200. Jonnu's only 2,900. I don't know why Jonnu is cheaper than him, but either way, $2,900 Jonnu Smith is another tight end that I really like.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think Jonnu, even Patty Fry, you know, just because of the, like you said, they just are running 12 personnel at an insane rate. So he's definitely in play. But then Darnell Washington, too, you know, becomes a guy when they get into the red zone, he could definitely get a touchdown or even two, just the way that they play. So it is kind of a little bit of roulette, but you're right about Jonnu. He has been the most consistent guy all year. So all those guys are definitely in play for me and can fit them in and mix and match. Tight end's just as straightforward like that, Kev. I don't think we need to talk about any other options. We can move on to defense. you know, we talked last week about how tough it was possibly to really pay down at defense, as there weren't too many on paper plays that were standing out at this time. I think this week's a little different in the sense that, you know, I think I could see the Tennessee Titans at 2,300 being very popular against Houston to be able to free up some salary for people. Salary is definitely going to be what people want on a slate like this, right? So cheap defenses become a play. I think, you know, the Titans are of interest at only 2,300. The Browns, if people aren't getting to Baltimore at 2,400 in this, you know, AFC East divisional matchup that or AFC North, excuse me, divisional matchup that always, you know, gets a little gritty. The Cleveland Browns could really be tough. I know, and I'm not sure what the injury status is for him, Kev, but I know that Myles Garrett left the game maybe once or twice last week. So that would be something to monitor for me. I haven't seen anything to allude that he might be missing, but definitely something to keep in mind as that just popped into my head. But yeah, 2,400 for the Browns is definitely in play. I mean, if you're paying up like the Falcons at 3,500, if you get there, like it makes a ton of sense going against this Carolina team, you know, especially if Rico Dowdle's banged up, you know, we're going against Bryce Young. Can't fault people for that, but it's just salary is at so much of a premium this week that I definitely think you want to pay down. So Browns and Titans, you know, definitely stand out to me a little bit. I could have interest. It's been tough to really trust this Buffalo Bills defense thus far, but this, you know, even though the Tampa Bay has been kind of pat statting, you know, in garbage time, you know, in recent weeks, Baker in this offense has just not really looked like we know it to look. And you know, they are dealing with a ton of injuries. Barkley Irvin, you know, has been on the injury report forever this year. Mike Evans, you know, missing the season. And so Abuka has done his best, you know, to carry this offense, but really not a good matchup for, you know, Cade Otton. Just going to be tough, you know, with the weather environment too there. So Bills at 3,200, I could see myself having interest in. And then even though I do have interest in JJ McCarthy, just the way that the Bears are, you know, their defense is turning the ball over at an insane rate. So if the turnovers keep going in their favor, even with it being a road matchup, I could have interest in them at 2,800. Kev, what are you thinking about for defense this week?
Well, speaking of the Bears, that's the defense that I was going to talk about. They're 2,800. It's probably the defense that I would have the most exposure to. So early in the year, the Bears actually really struggled to get pressure on quarterbacks. They only had 10 sacks through the first six games of the year, which was near the bottom of the league. But since week seven, they have actually racked up the third most sacks. They have 13. They trail only Atlanta and Denver in that department. They've also been extremely opportunistic this year. They rank first in creating a turnover on 20% of offensive drives faced this year. And J.J. McCarthy has been turning the ball over at an extremely high rate. He already has six interceptions and fumbled four times in the four games that he's played. So and he's also been sacked at a really high rate, 15 sacks over his first four game or the first four games, which is fifth worst. And so, I mean, the Vikings this year, they have been yielding a ton of points to opposing defenses. So I think the Bears at $2,800, like, I think is a really good play. They're probably going to be my favorite defense to play this week. I'm probably going to have like a lot of Bears defense. I just think they're a really good play here. You know, other than that, like, I don't think there's a lot of like, I think the Falcons are decent, but like, I never pay up for a defense that high, but the Falcons, I think are in play, especially if they can get a lead and get them out of having to throw, because Bryce Young has been awful all year. Like it is clear the Panthers are doing whatever they can to just hide him. And the Falcons, you know, for the most part, have been a pretty solid defense this year. The Panthers also are missing a lot of their offensive linemen. They're going to be without guards Robert Hunt and Brady Christensen, Taylor Moten and Austin Corbett have also missed time this year. But it's just a defense or an offensive line who heading into the year they had a lot of respect for, but they just continually taken a lot of had a lot of injuries in this unit. They've already had used 10 different offensive line combinations this year, but they've also allowed the ninth most sacks over the last month. And so I think the Falcons, I think if I had enough money to get to them, I think the Falcons at 3,500 is a spot you could go to as well.
Definitely. Yeah. If I have the money, that would be the team that I would be targeting first, the defense I'd be targeting first. But you know, every dollar might matter on this slate. So it'll be tough at this point. But yeah, I think that's where defense kind of stands for this week. And I think that we broke it down for the DGEN Nation people on what the week 11 slate is looking like, Kev. So, you know, these are our kind of early midweek looks at the slate. Things are always bound to change based on the way the injury reports break. But always fun breaking it down with the people for the DGEN Nation family. Kev, as we always do, we got to build that Millie Maker team out. And I'm loading it up right here. I believe the build is on you this week to start it off. So whenever you are ready, Kev, let me fire up this Millie Maker team. 20,000 less entries this week, Kev, of 147.58, I believe. We've been in the 160 range for the past couple of weeks. So, you know, even more odds in our favor to get up there. Where are we looking at starting this week, Kev?
Give me... Try to decide if I want to do a Flacco stack or a Jacoby Brissett stack. I think a lot of ownership is going to come in on that Cincinnati-Pittsburgh game. So I'm going to go with Jacoby Brissett at 4,900.
All right, Jacoby Brissett at 4,900, our quarterback. So I'll make it easy for you, Kev, since we're not playing Flacco. We'll take Chase Brown in that game and still get exposure to it through the running back.
All right. Trey McBride.
Of course, got to do that. Let's see. Don't know if we necessarily need to correlate Chase Brown. Even though I do like Warren, but we'll play around with some stuff and let's see. Let's see what we can do with McCaffrey on this build.
All right. That's the late slate. Give me 48-20. Let's just plug in the Bears defense just to get it out of the way. See what that leaves. Okay, so 53-25. What that leaves.
Okay. That's your pick, Kev?
Yeah, lock in the Bears.
All right, so I know it gets tough here, but let's see what happens if we put Warren in just to correlate it. I'll put McCaffrey in the flex. You talked about paying down at wide receiver being the pay up or payoff if we can get the guys at running back right. Let's just see what we can do here. Put McCaffrey in the flex. That leaves us with 5K and some change for three receivers.
Who's running back you plugged in?
I plugged in Warren right now.
Okay. Yeah. That's where my head was at. So let's save up a little bit of money. And I'm gonna put in Michael Wilson, the little double sack.
Yeah. I like it.
So that puts us at 5,700 for the last two wide receiver spots.
All right, so let's see what we're looking at here in this range. So what I'm looking at for now is, and maybe we need to save a little bit. What if we do T. Higgins as well at 6K and leaves 5,400?
Do we just go full game stack and just plug in Ricky Pearsall?
And do Pearsall? I don't hate it. I don't hate it, Kev. So we have a game. We have a game stack with Jacoby Brissett, Michael Wilson, Trey McBride, Ricky Pearsall, Christian McCaffrey. Then we have a mini stack of Jaylen Warren, Chase Brown, and T. Higgins. With both of those games going off, and we know what we just are rooting for production to go, you know, one specific way in that Cincinnati and Pittsburgh game. Get the touches to Jaylen Warren. Chase Brown scores touchdowns, but the productive wide receiver is T. Higgins. And then we have Bears D. Lock it in. That's the Millie lineup, Kev. somebody make a lineup for everybody who's listening on. Again, you know, we slow rode it to get there, but I think we kind of landed on something very nice. We'll have to run this a couple times, but Jacoby Brissett's our quarterback this week. We're going to double stack him with Michael Wilson and Trey McBride, run it back with Ricky Pearsall and Christian McCaffrey, then another mini stack with Chase Brown, Jaylen Warren, and T. Higgins. Closed it out with the Bears defense that uses all the salary. And that's the Week 11 Millie Maker lineup for the DGen Nation podcast. And the DGen Nation fam, shout out to you guys rocking along with us, whether you're, you know, listening back on the podcast software or watching live, as the chat was going, you know, pretty crazy today with the comments flowing in. Always love to see that, even if they're redraft questions, dynasty questions, or DFS questions. We appreciate everybody who stays up with us as we usually record these late in the evening on Thursday to get after it. As you know, we're all degens, right? We're all degenerates here, just trying to, you know, live out the fantasy dream and you know, have a little fun, make a couple bucks, and that's what it's all about. So that's gonna do it for the Week 11 NFL DFS pick breakdown here. As always, we do it on DraftKings, DGen Nation podcast, powered by the Fantasy Authority at FF_authorities, where you can find us on Twitter and X. Kev, any final words for the people as we get ready to close the book on Week 11?
No, I really like this team. I mean, it makes it a lot easier. Like, you don't need as much to go your right, right, or go your way, right? If these two games pop off, and you have all this, you know, you're so heavily stacked on this game, then and this makes it a lot easier, where you just don't have to get as many things right, all the other spots, right? So I really like this lineup. I think, you know, and I don't think this Arizona-San Francisco game is going to be as popular as some of the other games on the slate. I think like McCaffrey and McBride will be popular, but actually like full game stacking it, I don't think that's going to be as popular.
Yeah. I love it if that ends up being the case, because I think we're onto something here. So it'll be a fun one. It'll be a fun one to monitor. And you know, everybody who's listening here, you know, we'll definitely be able to share that team along. So appreciate you guys rocking along with us. Again, broke down the NFL DFS Week 11 picks as it relates to the DraftKings main slate that'll be going on Sunday, 11-game slate there. So we hope to see you guys in those DFS streets. For Kevin Steele, you know him as the godfather of TFA, the Fantasy Authority. At FantasyRath13 is where you can find him on Twitter and X. Myself, Ryan Williams, you can find me on Twitter and X at RyanAlexander_W. We will catch you guys next week for the Week 12 breakdown. Kev, the weeks just keep flowing by. We still got a lot of breakdowns, DFS breakdowns to do with the people. And we're coming into that holiday season. Don't want to bury the lead there, but we got some fun things planned for you. A couple shows that following week there, as we got the Thanksgiving slate, as we always do for the DGen Nation fam. And we got the main slate that we'll have to break down as well, too. So double dip of the DGen Nation podcast in 2 weeks. But until then, we're talking about Week 11. And you guys know what you got to do for Week 11. You got to get out and get this money. We'll catch you guys next time. But until then,
you
peace.
Can tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. Well, you better get used to the way the war battles. I see what you got in measures and ounces. But that's a break, boy. You're a big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. But that's a brace, boy. Yeah, that's a brace, little man. Break it down.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.